mindfulness mode.
The journey is a long one, yet it can be a joyful one.
Hey, Mindful Tribe, welcome back to the show. I am looking forward to this interview today. This woman created a company called Lift Oneself. And what an image is that? Don't you just love that image, lifting oneself? And yet it's unique in its own kind of way. It's not a phrase that I've really heard anybody talk about or anything like that. She talks about lift oneself through mindfulness and decisive action. And I love that image as well. She guides people on their journey of self-discovery and healing, tapping into the body's nervous system and energy flow. And you can see the title of today's episode is Embrace Your Biology. So I'm sure you're just as excited as I am to connect with my guest. My guest is Natalie Bedard, and a lot of the time she goes by the nickname Nat, Natalie Bedard. So Natalie, are you in mindfulness mode today?
Always. I'm always in mindfulness mode.
That's fantastic. So Natalie, what does mindfulness mean to you anyway?
Mindfulness means to be in the now, to tap into your senses and really be curious of what's presented in front of you. To really slow down time and come out of your head, to be in your body and to intake all the information. Yet it's not always possible to be at full capacity of mindfulness because of, you know, things that you're interacting with or challenges that you may be going through externally and internally. Yet really taking a moment to drop into your breath and remind yourself, am I actually present? Am I present in the now?
Well, Natalie, I really like that playful way that some people have of using your nickname, Nat. So I'm going to just embrace that. And I want to ask you, Nat, where you were in 2019, you know, in your mental self, when you decided to form a company called Lift Oneself.
I want to first say thank you, Bruce, for having me as a guest, because I'm really loving the connection that we're going to have. And I'm really excited about what's going to develop in this conversation. In 2019, rewind it back to 2014. I was hospitalized with lesions in my brainstem and my cerebellum, and I was told I was going to die. And I was hospitalized for almost 40 days. So anybody in Canada knows if the hospital is keeping you, it's something very serious.
Yes.
So I went through a battery of tests. You don't want to have to stay in the hospital because you go through some very painful testing. I went through lumbar punctures, a biopsy, several of them. I even had radiation put into me to the amount that they said if I went to any border, I would be detained because they would suspect me for terrorism. And I was like, aren't we supposed to stay away from radiation? And they're like, well, you know, medicine and science is kind of funny sometimes. And I'm like, so I got a really good crash course of the medical system. And here in Ottawa, we're a teaching hospital, so it's a lot of interns, mm-hmm. and really seeing what students go through in the medical system to be trained as a doctor. And in that, like, I was almost like an invalid. I couldn't move. I had vertigo. The lesions in my cerebellum had actually changed the position of my eyes, so my eyes were cross-eyed and pushed out. So it really brought me internally and really seeing my biology, my nervous system, and a better understanding, because I couldn't really make decisive thoughts in action. And it was so fatiguing. And then I came to see like how much neural energy it takes to make a thought and string it along to make it an action. It was almost like being a child again, seeing the world in exploration. So in 2015, I discovered meditation because I was released from the hospital without a diagnosis.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. So all they could come close to was neuropsychedosis. So they needed to write something for disability because I had to retire from my previous life in the government. So they came up with neuropsychedosis just for the papers, but still, we don't really know what this is. So being released with, you don't know what this is and what the plan, I was left with kind of like death at my door saying, you don't really have a diet to follow. So really intuitively start going in with that guidance. And then in 2015, I discovered meditation in the form of TM, Transcendental Meditation. And the profoundness that I was going into, the person that was guiding me was like, I haven't seen anybody go to the depths that you're going to so quickly.
Oh.
And what happened is that in my nervous system, I was able to do the somatic releases of the trauma I experienced as a child and all the lineage of traumatic things that got developed from myself also, because once you understand trauma, you understand how there's certain things that you put yourself in a position, not intentionally, it's just that you don't feel like you have self-worth or value and you're seeking that sense of belonging. And a lot of times it can be in toxic experiences in people. And so that just that somatic release and crying and raging and yelling, while also being a parent to twins, at the time when I was in the hospital, they were 4, now they were 5. So dealing with their trauma of me almost dying and then my own releasing trauma, my parenting was the highest spiritual practice I could see about myself and see what I was lacking and what they needed and seeing myself as a human and seeing themselves as a human. So going along, I learned more about neuroscience, understanding the nervous system, and just going more and more into that wisdom within. And so in 2019, I just decided, you know what? So many people are asking me, like, where's your books? Where can I work with you? What can I do? When I brought it to my doctor, my doctor's like, whoa, like, you're on a disability for a reason because you almost died and you're not working because too much cortisol and stress in your system will just, we don't know, like, that might just take you out. So I did it slowly. So, you know, working with clients, offering free meditation, and then, you know, COVID hit. And the reason why I called it lift oneself, I meditated on it a lot, was that if you lift out the ego, you're in the oneself. And the ego, for me, how I see it, is our nervous system's defense mechanisms that keep us away from vulnerability, that keep us away from the worth and love. That you may have been separated because of trauma. And so it's coming back home into your body, into your worth, and into the love within, and into the big S. So that's why I say the lift oneself, so that you can start to see that you're a part of the whole universe and connected.
And so tell me about your business. Have you then gotten into writing and writing a book and doing that aspect of it?
You see, I'm still healing. So that inner sabotage and inner critic makes it that you don't have to say anything. It's already written, yada, yada. And I just did a podcast before this, and the woman that was interviewing me was like, you need to write this, and whatever I can do to support you is needed. So I'm in the process of starting to have somebody that's accountable and that can help me with the process and not have me stop, because I have many journals and many books that I started the process, just didn't follow up. And I do understand, I'm giving myself grace, because last year, my friend was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and she was only given 3 months. And so in that process, it's been over a year and she's still here. And they, you know, herself, from her words and the people around, were like, if you weren't with her, she wouldn't be here. Because I allowed her to face the anxiety, face her nervous system, have acceptance of the grief of grieving your old life and coming here. Because the lesions, I had to learn to grieve my own life and accept my body the way it was, even though there's pain, even though I couldn't do the things that I could do before, really having that radical acceptance. And it's, you know, logically in theory, it's all great to say, but really to embody that, that takes a process, and it takes really disarming your defense mechanisms that you are dropping your masks and not putting on these masks to feel a sense of belonging or impress people or whatever narrative that may be being said in your head. So for me going through what I went through in 2014, now I'm able to hold space for other people that they can hold the space for accepting where they are right now, and that there's going to be a grief process. And so that, you know, put a pause on a lot. Like, I have a podcast also. And so I wasn't recording any podcasts because I was going to all of her treatments, and she was able to go to Barbados. So that picture that you said that you saw me, we were able to go 3 times last year. She was able to not have to do her treatment for 6 weeks. And, you know, really, her oncologist is like, you're my favorite patient because you've surpassed all my expectations and you surprise me all that, like, beyond my mind. And so it's like, okay, now I'm back online that I have to fulfill myself and also open up my space for other people.
Right.
So that they, I have something that can allow them to go into their portal. It's, you know, a lot of people will come to me and it's like, oh my gosh, I adore you. And I'm like, just recognize all I am is a reflection of what's inside you. And all I'm showing you is the portal within your wisdom and within your space.
This sounds like the story of a miracle.
Some have said that, yeah.
Yeah. I want to go back to your podcast, Lift Oneself. Do you interview people? Do you just tell me about the format of it and how that has fed you?
Yeah. So in 2002, I recognized, you know what? There's not enough conversations of radical honesty. And there's so much stigma around mental health, and people have so many different definitions about it. And it's like, everybody has mental health. And so we all have different paths to get to the same place. And I wanted to really have some raw truth speaking conversations so people can feel relatable, mm-hmm. and that there's free content there, and also gather people that have services that would help people and that would actually bring results for them. So I've had like an array, a spectrum of conversations and guests on there. And I'm really privileged in these conversations because I get to see more in depth of, you know, hearing people's experiences and hearing the tools that they've, you know, had to navigate or where they're still navigating and trying to figure things out. So I'm just really centered on the radical honesty, because that's what you need in healing, and having relatable conversations so that when people hear it, they're more curious within their own story, that it gives them a space to actually start looking at themselves. Right. And what their emotions are and what experiences that they've experienced.
Nat, I want to ask you more about the title you suggested for the episode called Embrace Your Biology. Tell me about biology. Why are you using that word in the title? I'm interested.
A lot of times we're taught to be logical and yes. in our mind and what we can produce out there. And we're not taught to be a mad scientist. What does your biology, what feeds your biology? We run off of energy. And I know some people will be like, that's woo-woo. People will be like, energy. And it's like, okay, well, look at your system. When you intake food, it gives you energy to be able to move your senses. Well, also what you take in as energy from other nervous systems, that takes and gives with your energy. So say, for instance, you're in an environment and you don't like your work, and you're like, your energy is just, you're dragging yourself, and you're wondering, oh my gosh, I got to do it. Yet as soon as you get off for work, all of a sudden all this energy comes up and you're like happy and joyful. Or sometimes you're just burnt out and you just have to go to bed just to keep doing the mundane. And so being really curious about what serves you. And are you actually taking care of your life force? Are you really understanding time is a tool? It's not a toy. And a lot of us use it as a toy because we think we have this time, we have that time. So really tapping into your biology, and not in the stories that they told you need to be, you know, see what the skill and potential is within, and really understanding your nervous system. Like, you're driving in this car already. So to say, oh, I don't know what this is, it's like you're on autopilot in it. So now let's come out of autopilot so that you can manually start understanding and embracing this biology that you've been gifted with.
Such wisdom. Yeah, I appreciate that so much. I want to ask you a question about bullying. I've worked in that field for a long time, and I just want to know what your thoughts are about bullying and how it intersects with mindfulness. And, you know, maybe you have a story about bullying and how mindfulness might have made a difference.
I was called Natalie Bedard retard.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. So you can imagine how that shaped my identity. Yeah. Going through, I'm biracial also. And so I grew up in the northern parts of Ontario in Sudbury. Mm-hmm. So, you know, going into school, my father wasn't around. So not being able to identify with my Black side, and then going into a school system and then having trauma, my self-worth wasn't there. And they couldn't understand, like, my IQ was so high, but in my grades and in my tests, like, I was, because I wasn't involved. And then people would call me this, and I look at my biology and I see it, I internalized it, yet not so much that it limited me from moving forward. So it's almost like I had some mindfulness. I was still really attached to my curiosity and intuition, because mm-hmm. I was one of those children that was considered probably defiant because I asked so many questions. I things were not logical to me. Like, it was just a lot of hypocrisy, and I would challenge a lot of things. And for that, it's like, stop, you're bothering us with these questions. The mindfulness that I think would have helped me is to not internalize it, to recognize, you know, hurt people hurt people, and to understand more that, you know, children are radically vicious with their tongues and trying to feel that sense of tribal and belonging and, you know, putting people down. So it's really, I think the mindfulness too would have been able to acknowledge my own emotions. Okay. And validate them for myself.
Yeah. Wow. That's a heartfelt story. Tell me about David K. Richards and how you helped change the trajectory of his life.
Oh, David. Oh my gosh. Thank you for that. Like, it's like a good download. David had sexual trauma. And he was a teacher. And he also created a school, a different school for what the academic. And it was in a part where he wasn't accepting fully his biology and his potential. And so while doing a few sessions with me, he was really able to tap into his nervous system and have acceptance for himself and, you know, really support the gifts that he has to give to people. So it was removing this blockage that was limiting him. And it's beautiful because he has a podcast also and running the school, and just the joy and the fulfillment that you see. And he took some really big leaps of steps while working with me to really support his family, to really support his children, support his wife. And it changed a lot of the trajectory. Well, COVID changed a lot of trajectory for everybody. Mm-hmm. Yet it really helped him to not get bombarded with the fear, to use that fear as a propelling. Because, you know, a lot of people are like, don't fear. And it's like, no, your nervous system needs to fear.
Yeah.
You can use that energy. You can use that energy to take the action needed.
Yeah, definitely. Nat, as we move forward in the interview, I want to ask you 5 quick answer questions. So just 30-second answers are perfect. The first one is this. Who is one person who's been a powerful mindfulness influence in your life?
Diane Thompson.
Okay. Tell us who that is.
It's a friend of mine.
Oh, it's a friend. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a friend of mine. Okay. My second question is about emotions and how mindfulness has helped you deal with your emotions differently.
They help me to validate and interact with the energy.
Okay. Let's talk about breathing. Do you have a comment, a thought, something about breathing that you can share with us?
Your breath never leaves you, and we always forget to access it because it's always in the now. So anchor into the breath, Nat.
Can you share a book with us that can help with mindfulness?
Untethered Soul by Michael Singer.
I love that book. Yeah. And any apps, are there any apps at all that you would recommend that are related to this?
All I could say is Audible. If you want to listen to a book, because some, like, you know, mindfulness is very meditative to be with a book and reading, yet a lot of people are not able to do that with their focus, but Audible, of listening to any books that would stimulate your curiosity with mindfulness and, you know, your biology.
Yeah. Nat, this is not a quick answer question, but I want to ask you this. If someone's listening today to this, one of my Mindful Tribe listeners is listening and they're really connected to you and they really feel, wow, I love her story and this is incredible, but I feel stuck or I feel, you know, paralyzed in my life. If that person reached out to you for help, tell me what you would do. What would be the first thing you would do? And how could you possibly help that individual?
Well, first, we're going to get into a discovery call, because the clients that come to me are willing, and there needs to be a willingness, because I'm going to guide you into your nervous system so that you face yourself, face the things that you have control over, and not be in the blame game, especially not blaming yourself. And so it's seeing energetically if we can work together. And if it does, when people come around me, they feel that there's no judgment. And what healing is required to get unstuck is radical honesty. And when they're in that space with me, they're able to have that honesty and really identify what their real thoughts are, what they are authentically feeling. Because a lot of us will feel secondary emotions, not the authentic emotions. So when they work with me, it's being able, we do meditation, we do honest, a topic of what the intention is, because we always set an intention for the session, and then unravel what is presented right now and what they feel they can handle in their life right now to remove those blockages.
I see. And do you usually work for 3 months, 6 months, a year? What does it usually look like?
Some clients, it's been a year that they go. Other clients, they just book when they feel they need a kind of like tune up. So it's all individual. Like, that's when we get into the discovery call to find out what are they looking for and what is it that I'm able to provide for them.
I see. And at this point in your life, do you meditate every day yourself?
Yeah. I wonder, Bruce, would you be willing to come into a meditation with me so I can show your listeners exactly a little bit of what that looks like in a session?
Definitely. Do you want to do that on a separate call, or you want to do that right now?
Right now we could do it.
Let's do it right now. Let's do it. Okay.
And for your listeners, a lot of times we listen to podcasts while we're driving or running. So I'm going to invite myself and Bruce to close our eyes, but please don't do that, because we want to keep you safe and everybody else safe. Yet the other prompts you're able to follow, and you're able to guide yourself in that. So Bruce, I'll ask you to close your eyes. And you're going to begin breathing in and out through your nose. And you're going to bring your awareness to watching your breath go in and out. You're not going to control your breath. You're going to observe the rhythm of it while still keeping focused on watching it go in and out through your nose. There may be some sensations or feelings that may be coming up, and it's okay, let them come up. You're safe to feel. You're safe to let go. Surrender the need to control. Release the need to resist and just be. Be with your breath. Keep your awareness on your breath. Again, there may be sensations or feelings coming up, or there may be some thoughts or memories. Don't push anything away. Let them be Yet just bring your awareness back to watching your breath. Now, while staying with your breath at your own time and at your own pace, you're going to gently open your eyes while still staying with your breath.
Great. That was powerful, Nat.
So there's something with my nervous system that allows other people to anchor into safety in my nervous system, because that's the biggest thing with mindfulness is safety, and your nervous system to feel safe to go into the unknown uncertainty. And so with the frequency of my voice and the tone, it brings people into a space of feeling safe in their body, which mindfulness needs. And you explore it even more of trusting your senses, trusting yourself. And so when I do sessions, you know, I just showed, like, this was about a minute that we went into.
Yes.
And this is something that you can always anchor into. This is your portal to better, you know, create that space to be into that stillness, to anchor into your breath and listen, to deeply listen.
That is powerful. Thank you so much for doing that right here on the interview. That was excellent. So your website is liftoneself.com. Is that the best place for our listeners to reach out to you?
Yes, it is. And also for your listeners, I created a free gift, which is an audio of a meditation. It's of 10 minutes. So they can go to the landing page of liftoneself.com/gift. So that's liftoneself.com/gift. And they just have to put in their information, because this is an opt-in society, but they can subscribe afterwards and they'll get an audio of a meditation that they can listen to that's about 10 minutes.
Thank you so much for sharing that with Mindful Tribe. I appreciate it, Nat.
It's my pleasure.
As we move forward, do you have any final words of advice before we wrap up the interview?
I want whoever's listening to know that I see you. And please remember to be gentle and kind with yourself. The journey is a long one, yet it can be a joyful one, to allow yourself to feel glimmers of joy. And always remember that you matter and you are the light.
Wow, I really felt that. I felt like you were speaking directly to me. That is powerful. Well, Nat, thank you so much for being a guest on Mindfulness Mode. I've really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you so much for allowing me to share this space with you. And thank you for what you're creating as a space in the podcast world. It's needed more and more. So thank you for your light, Bruce.
Yeah, my pleasure. All the best to you. Bye now.
Bye.
Mindful Tribe, thanks for joining the show today. So great to have you as a listener. And if you would be so kind as to leave a comment, you can go to Apple and leave a comment there. You could leave a comment on Spotify. You can go to my website, mindfulnessmode.com, click on the episode and leave a comment there. That would also really help the podcast. It helps to propel it. It helps to get it found online so other listeners can tune in. So if you can do that for me, if you can do that for the show, that would be a big help. And with that, take what we've learned today to reach new heights of calm, focus, and happiness. Stay in the mode.